is a Washington, D.C. author, and she writes about Hollywood, though, and she is an expert on all of the things that go on in the Californian and Hollywood. Mary Claire, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Stuart. It's wonderful to be back on.
The same here. Now, you've written a book about the revelations that many of these movie stars have had when they found God.
Right.
Very interesting.
Right. No. It's amazing. It's the life arc, you know. Many of them come from nothing.
Sure.
Yeah, except for it's bookended by stability, Alfred Hitchcock, Gary Cooper, and Patricia Neal. But the others came from nothing, and great success, you know, no hardship getting up there, and typically you run into the life's crisis. And amazing how each of these stories, if somebody intervened or something happened, they came to see God's power, and amazing how it had such a good effect, like maybe on addiction. Mary Astor, she was able to overcome her addiction, for instance.
Huh. Now, I know you'd mentioned, I was reading some of the things that you had written, and Spencer Tracy, he became quite a philanthropist through his son, who was deaf.
Right. That is a beautiful story. I knew one of his good friends, A.C. Lyles. Did you know A.C.?
No.
Paramount. He was at Paramount for years and years.
Didn't.
But he told me that story. Spencer gave all credit to Louise, but John was born deaf. It was really tragic. And that kind of was the spur, though, that gave Spencer Tracy, got him going to really become the actor he was, because he had a little tendency to laziness.
Now, going back about 50 years ago, right about that, we knew someone who had a young girl, who was born deaf also, and she was helped tremendously at the John Tracy Clinic, which I think was funded and started by Spencer Tracy.
Yes. It was his money. He gave all credit to Louise, but he certainly did fund it.
Sure. And I know you mentioned a lot about Lana Turner. I actually went to high school with her daughter, Cheryl Crane.
Yes.
And I do not believe that Cheryl killed Johnny Stampinato. I really think the mother did it. And I think it was a big cover-up.
Is that because you knew her and you just, what you sensed? Or how was that you came to that?
Well,
conclusion?
I knew her, not real well, but I knew her. She sat next to me in some of my classes, and she was not a violent sort of a person. And Beverly Hills was a funny town back then when the Chief Anderson, whose son happened to be my best friend all through grammar school, so I knew the family well, but they did cover up an awful lot of stuff for the residents. They could get away literally with murder, and they knew that nothing would happen to the teenage daughter and protecting her mother in self-defense, but I don't believe
that she did it. This guy was stalking her. He was that night. She'd come back from the Academy Awards, and he was there in the house. Apparently, it was a threatening situation.
I believe that.
But who knows?
He was kind of like a mobster, but wasn't he her boyfriend? I mean, I don't know that much about her.
Well, you know, she was very weak. She was very vulnerable. I mean, this guy he just walked into her life. And rather than saying, and just was showering her with gifts and flowers rather than saying, well, thank you very much, but, you know, no thanks, she just was weak, and she didn't reach out for help. She thought she could handle it on her own. So it was awful. He would just show up unannounced on vacations and, like, on a plane when she had had him deported.
Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. Well, yeah. I can't wait to read this book of yours because there's so much good stories. Not even, for me, it's especially interesting because I was from there. But for everybody, I mean, everybody loves to hear about the old stars and things that have happened in their lives.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of the stuff is so relevant because, like, the Betty Hutton, also the addictions in Hollywood, really, and how they were able to overcome, amazing stories.
It is. I don't think sad cases like Judy Garland, who never overcame it.
Oh, that was a different era. I guess so. That's probably similar, but that was different in the sense that, you know, they were the commodities, and they gave them pills to uppers and downers and etc.
That's true. It's still very sad what goes on there. Mary Claire, can you tell everyone the name of the book and how they can find it?
Right. It's called Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. You can go to your local Barnes & Noble and get it. If it's not there, they'll order it. Amazon, all the usual online sites. And I think people will enjoy it. If they like Hollywood, they'll enjoy it. If they like faith dimensions, they'll love it.
I think it sounds great, and I can't wait to read it myself. Again, folks, we've been talking to Mary Claire Kendall, Oasis, and it's a book about all the Hollywood legends and how they found faith. Mary Claire, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Stuart.
You have a wonderful day.